election season now, and the third of the 12 appropriations bills is on currently on the House floor. It's the Energy and Water Appropriations Bill, and I was actually on the floor at just before 11 introducing an amendment to the bill when my cell phone went off.
So
the Aggie War Hymn is what plays when I'm on my phone, and so that went off on C-SPAN last night.
Good. Maybe we can hear that again. That might be replayed. We may catch that on YouTube. You know, you've always got groups. Our chamber group was up there a few weeks ago, and you've got the Texas Association of Business visiting in the Capitol now, huh?
Yes, sir. They're also pretty excited. They asked me if I would invite Paul Ryan to speak to them today, and Paul accepted, and so I get to introduce Paul to the group, and they're pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, that's, well, again, he is a rock star of Congress, and he comes from Wisconsin, where there was some pretty interesting stuff. Let's talk politics here for just a second, because obviously the governor's recall failed. And I know that a lot of people on the Republican side want to say that that's a mandate for what can be happening in November.
I don't know if it's a mandate for what can be happening in November. Here's the way I reviewed it. It's a mandate for those that say that the government cannot behave in a fiscally responsible manner. I mean, that's really what this was about, is do we let special interests trump the economic sanity of a government? And Scott Walker believed in overriding the interest of special special interest groups in order to try to save his state and the future for its citizens. And I thought that was really what it was all about, and he did a great job.
Of course, we're from a right-to-work state, and so union is kind of foreign to a lot of people here. And of course, here, in many cases, we're talking about government employees' unions. And,
right.
And then again, the two referendum that took place in California, both of them talked about making pension changes. And so possibly that's something that's generating with, as Chase calls them, Johnny Lunch Buckets, people really out there on the street who don't have that kind of pension plan.
Well, exactly. And this is a situation where the private sector unions said, hey, wait, you know, unions weren't intended to do this in the public sector, because the public sector is essentially taking from the working man's paycheck over on the private sector side.
We'd talked earlier this morning, the Pew Research Center has done a poll that finds that the partisan gap is wider now than it's ever been. They've asked the same question the same way for 25 years, and Democrat and Republican seem to be farther away than ever. How do we find some place to get a common ground as we see this?
You know, Scott, I have this question pretty frequently, and the way I answer it is to talk about the differences and divisions between one party and the other party. My party believes that the key at opportunity is through a healthy and growing private sector that is hiring more employees and putting more and larger paychecks into the hands of our citizens. The other side believes that we need to have more government benefits, and it actually locks people into this cycle of despondency. And so the choice is really one between paychecks or food stamps, and I have work to try to see where the middle is, but it's hard for me to find where the middle is. Some people call it capitalism versus socialism, and I just don't know that there is a middle ground, and one side or the other is going to win out when November comes around. I of course hope it's the one where we provide opportunity for people through private sector growth.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. House Republicans pretty much conceded yesterday that it's going to be a mess to deal with if the Supreme Court rules that just portions of the health care law are unconstitutional. Your thoughts on that and how you might be able to make this some way serviceable if only a portion of Obamacare does get struck down?
Well, the individual mandate was the tool that the Democratic Congress inserted into Obamacare, so that there would be a way to partially pay for Obamacare. The other $1.7 was going to come out of increased taxes. We're trying to figure out what do you do if that individual mandate goes away, because that's a funding mechanism, because then the cost of Obamacare from the taxpayers just skyrockets to trillions of dollars. I don't know that we've come to a consensus at this point. We've got a House GOP conference meeting this morning, and we'll try to find out the latest thinking on that at this point. I mean, I've got my view, and my view is we ought to scrap the entire law and start over and actually turn to the private sector to say, help us design what the country's health care system could look like or should look like, because I can guarantee you Congress isn't smart enough to do it. They tried once, and what we got was Obamacare, and that's turned out to be a disaster.
So it's going to continue to be appropriations pretty much this week on the floor?
Yes, sir. Pretty much through the rest of the summer, we're going to we should wrap up the energy and water appropriations bill today, early tomorrow, and then Homeland Security comes up right after that. We've already passed two. Commerce, Justice, Science passed about 2 weeks ago, and then MelCon VA passed last week.
And then, of course, it would have to go to the Senate, and they haven't been very good about doing their job, have they?
No, sir, they haven't. No, they haven't. And my guess is, well, it's not a guess, the Senate is not picking other appropriations bills up, so they're probably, we're going to take all the work that we've done and take our bills and go to conference and probably wind up with some sort of a continuing resolution to fund the government past the election and figure out what happens then.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks a lot for the time this morning.
You bet. I'd like to remind everybody that it was 68 years ago today on D-Day that America's greatest generation stormed the beaches at Normandy to rid the world from tyranny. And I hope that our listeners continue to pray for our country and our military men and women that protect it.